been a hot second and a half since I did my last audio diary, Girl Interrupted Mental Meltdown Spectacular. And when I was thinking about what my next audio diary would entail, it kind of seemed pretty obvious that I would document my first Bridezilla excursion. Today, I have saddled up Leo in his illegal service dog vest that I ordered online. Pretty sure it's not legit. Pretty sure I don't give a fuck. Me and him are en route to Palm Springs to check out a potential venue. It's just me and him because my absentee groom is in Jamaica working. Poor guy. Fucking asshole. So I'm kind of doing like a pre-screening of all the venues. And anyone who knows me, or even knows me just through this podcast, knows that details are my life. I am the most particular, manic, psychopath roaming the streets of Los Angeles. And I embrace that about myself. I know it about myself. I know I'm not the easiest going bitch on the block. But when it comes to picking a venue for my wedding, all of that goes times 10. Okay, I'm gonna stop off and get some gas and get some ranch sunflower seeds because I have to have them on a road trip, even though this is only 2 hours long. God, I feel so amped today. I feel like I just did a bump with John and Dorinda, another tough subject that I will talk about later. And check in a bit. Bridezilla out. Still in traffic, still hating life. Still optimistic. I've decided that from now on, I'm going to walk around with like a little list of all potential guests for my wedding. And if they do anything to upset me, both personally, bridally, I don't know, socially, sexually, I'm going to put a little red dot right by their name. And if they hit fucking 2, they're not eating at the ceremony or reception. And if they hit 3, they're just not invited. Like, even if it's not a personal offense, but just a social faux pas, you still get a mark. And actually, I'd like to take this opportunity to address my cousin Jennifer. Not sure if you even listen to this podcast, but you already have a mark. And if you want to know why, I'm going to tell you. No one cares what your spirit animal is, or what Disney princess you are, or what city you're supposed to live in, or whatever bullshit .net quiz you took on Facebook. I swear to fucking God, one more Candy Crush invite, and I'm taking your daughter Emily and holding her captive. Or if someone wears kitten heels, or like brings carnation floral arrangements, hashtag filler flowers, you get a dot. And I think I'm going to extend this practice just outside of my wedding Bridezilla meltdown. I think once I'm actually married, I'm just going to carry around a list of everybody I know, or maybe I'll make a whole separate blog. Rankyoursquad.com. I don't know. I mean, that name's not super catchy. I'd prefer an alliteration, but at least people will know where they stand and then act accordingly, because everyone wants to be loved. Everyone wants to be number one. If you're not first, you're last. And I don't know. I just think it's a great philosophy. Maybe something people should think about. It's kind of amazing how entitled people are complaining about like not being invited to things. Like, I got a text message. Well, I didn't even have the number in my phone. Someone saying like, "Hey, I heard invites went out and miss you. We should do lunch," or something passive aggressive like that. And I'm like, dude, we're not hanging out. Shut up. I know you like don't have anything to do Saturday night and you know, you want like an open bar, but you're not invited. We're not friends. We don't talk. Stay home. Get a Netflix account. Get a Hulu Plus account. Real Housewife episodes on there. Vintage. Hot tip. You're welcome, Hulu Plus. Get it. Then I had some family members. Apparently there was a chatter in the LA suburbs of people being very offended that they hadn't received their invitations yet. First of all, I'm not that crafty, okay?
I simply am a retard and didn't order enough stamps. So people were thinking that I was being passive aggressive and like sending out invitations in order of importance, which, by the way, is something I would totally do normally. But in actuality, I just didn't have enough stamps. And to those people, get over yourself. I don't even know where you live. You should be so lucky to be invited because I only like 3 people. Maybe 4 when I'm feeling sprightly. And then I love strangers, but people I actually know, like 4 or 5. You're welcome. The reason that I feel like I was meant to be a bridezilla is because I feel very strongly and confident in my own conviction. It's like everyone's like, oh, you didn't invite this person. I think they're offended. They mentioned something to me. And I'm like, you know what? People have too many feelings about things that don't concern them. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not afraid to tell people, hey, you might have thought that we were friends, but we're not friends. And this is why. Have a lovely day. Now I'm rambling. And I'm like getting anxious and I just would do anything for a chi-chi. Bye. Okay, guys, so I'm at potential venue number 1. It's in Palm Springs. Oh, sorry, just got into my room. And my vagina is tingling first step onto the property. I have 3 major requirements for my bridezilla mecca. Well, actually, maybe 4. Firstly, lighting, duh. Second, do they have Bravo in the hotel rooms? Very, very crucial, because as I'm breathing into a paper bag preparing for my matrimony, I kind of need to be able to have escapism and watch my stories. I'm going to have to write Andy Cohen a letter, although he did unfollow me on Twitter recently. So still pretty pissed about that, Andy, but like we could get over it. And I would like to write him a letter and request a series of vintage housewife marathons, not to be too demanding, but in particular, I would like Vicky Gumbelson's family van incident of 2007 for obvious reasons. What else? Ooh, the episode of New Jersey when Ashley Holmes has her sad John Robert Powers modeling shoot, like in the poly blend gown, and then she storms off set because Jacqueline is micromanaging her or something. That was amazing. Also the episode when Kelly Bensimone has a psychiatric break on Scary Island. And then to close things off, obviously the limo incident of season 1, Beverly Hills, with Kimmy Cakes in her Dynasty updo pearl necklace. That's not a sexual innuendo. It was a real pearl choker, not from Monty, I'm assuming. Oh, fuck. Too soon. Is Monty dead? Oh my God, Monty died. Okay, just kidding. RIP, girl. How am I gonna get myself out of this one? Okay, let's just like go back to my venue requirements. Last and not least, the hand-stuffed blue cheese olive. Hashtag Gorgonzola, bitches. So I'm hoping that this beautiful property has all 4 of those things, and then I'm going to be one happy heifer. And I mean heifer because in the past week, I've gained 8 pounds, and it ain't water weight. And I feel good. I thought of some more requirements. Shocker. I can't believe I didn't mention this earlier. I feel very strongly about minimal children on the property, in the vicinity. It's not that I don't love children. I plan to have a couple later when I can afford a full-time nanny and a vaginal rejuvenation or whatever that surgery is that keeps things tight and right. But I just don't know that I need to have like a shit ton of kids running around, screaming, eating chicken tenders, and waddling in their own urine the day that I hopefully saddle up in my custom couture wedding gown. You know? It's just not what I envision. I don't envision walking down the aisle and like hearing somebody scream, "Mom!" I mean, if kids are coming, we're going to need some Benadryl on tap and like a muzzle. Not a muzzle, just some Benadryl. Oh, people are going to get offended. It's a joke. Relax. Another thing I love about this first venue I'm at is that I see a lot of organized group activities. And to be very clear, I mean, obviously, I'm not Sporty Spice over here. I have the hand-eye coordination of Helen Keller. But homegirl's competitive. I fucking dominated a board game. I'm an amazing bowler. I can do a trunk lift very well. And Boulder Dash, Monopoly, I mean, any board game I'm pretty good at. But I do have to be careful around outdoor sports, especially like croquet, ping pong. I take it very, very seriously, despite me having any coordination. They used to call me Tanya Harding as a child. And fun fact, I was actually kicked out of our town, I guess it was just like this LA mural, intramural, is that a word? Intramural basketball league. Because I got excess fouls, and this is really sad. Like, my dad was the coach, and I was banned from the league. Like, I was never allowed to play again. And it wasn't because I was, you know, crunching three pointers. What is it called? Who cares? I broke a girl's nose on my own team. That was kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back. I'm just really kidding, killing all these analogies. I can't fucking speak. Haven't even had a cocktail yet. Yeah, that was fun. I bedazzled my jersey. If you didn't have a bedazzler, you need to turn this podcast off, because that bedazzler changed my life. Everything I owned was embellished, and if I couldn't bedazzle it, I went to Michael's and I got some E3000 super glue, and I rhinestoned my mechanical pencils. I rhinestoned my headgear. Yes, I had a headgear. It was fabulous. It was pink. It was satin. I also had a sparkly retainer that I wore. And things were great. I was hot. What, if you're hot, you're hot. What can I tell you? But yeah, I got kicked out of AYBA for breaking a girl's nose on my team, XX fouls, and just trying to like add some pizzazz to my uniform. They can go fuck themselves. How adorable. You know what? I was also 8 years old, and sorry for having a good competitive edge at a young age, okay? If you're not first, you're last. I don't know how this story is relevant to my wedding venue scouting, but I like to think that I could take that type of drive and ambition from the court to the aisle. See what I did there? Full circle moment. Bridezilla 2.0. Hello, guys. I've settled in. I'm out on my veranda looking at the property. And just having like a moment of self-reflection, bridezilla, internal, emo, nation. And I'm just thinking like, holy fuck, getting married is a big deal. I should also mention that I'm currently scrubbing my dog's fraudulent service dog vest that I ordered from like some Chinese import website. Spilled a little bit of vodka on it last night. Mother of the year. But I'm just thinking, like, you know, getting married is becoming an adult in many ways. Firstly, I still sneak beers into movie theaters. Like, I funnel it into a little Propel bottle, because normal water bottles are clear, and then people are going to think you have problems. So I do a discolored, maybe a Pellegrino bottle that's green, so people don't know what's lingering on the inside. But I feel like married people don't do that. Is that tacky? Is that juvenile? I'm not sure. Secondly, I'm in an actual fight with my neighbor at home because she has excess garden figurines on our communal grass area. Like, I'm not joking. Like, me and her don't speak. I walk out of the door, I see her, and I turn away. Not very mature, but very necessary. I get married, and then what if we have a kid? Well, actually, that's a reason to have a kid and expedite the adult process, because then I could have my kid go and fucking bash up her little gnomes and her little figurine ceramic owl with jeweled eyes. Do you know that on her front door,
I hope she listens to this one day. Because you're the worst. You're a terrorist. Karen, you're a cunt. I hope she hears this. She has a cement set of cowboy boots. And what's worse than a real carnation is a fake carnation. She has two boots filled with fake yellow carnations right on her front doorstep. And it's like infringing on my property. And it's terrible. And I try to kick it over every day. Inch it over passive aggressively, and nothing works. Another thing I was thinking about while reflecting on my adolescence that's slowly coming to an end, me and Maxie Poo, you might remember him as a former co-host of the Bitch Bible podcast. He has appeared twice. He is my husband. We worked at a summer camp during high school for years. And we used to play this game, Graveyard, where we would have our campers, basically we would count to 30 or something, and the premise was that they had to act like they were dead, and lay and not move and not speak and find a position, and then they were dead, and we would go around and try to get them to move. And you're not supposed to touch them, obviously. I mean, that sounds weird, but like you can't like, you know, punch them in the face and be like, wake up! Not that I would punch a kid in the face, but there was this one little girl. It was Max's camper. Her name was Rachel. I should probably give her a fake name, but, you know, she'll remember this one day. She was actually super cute. She used to wear soccer cleats to camp. Not sure why. Didn't play soccer. And she would wear princess dresses, and she was just kind of like a hot mess. I felt like a real spiritual connection to her. But one day we were playing Graveyard and she decided to be standing, and we thought it would be funny to duct tape her to a wall and tell her for every minute she stayed suspended on the wall with duct tape, we'd give her an otter pop. So little Rachie duct taped to that wall for 20 minutes, and then when she wanted to come down, you know what we said? No. So I just left a kid taped to a wall and then bribed her not to tell her mother, which I think she ultimately did and got us into a small problem with the camp director. But anyways, you know, once you're entering a new phase in your life, you think about it. You take a step back. What have I done in my life? What are some standout moments? For me, my Tanya Harding episode of 1998, actually, when I broke that girl's nose on my basketball team. That was a moment. In all fairness, homegirl was going to need a rhinoplasty anyway before she went on Birthright. She was given straight up bat mitzvah schnoz vibes. So I probably did her a little bit of a favor. Second, definitely Rachel with the duct tape to the wall, which is hilarious. I got to do that again. I might do that to my own kids. As long as they're hairless, because that was kind of the painful process. She had a little hairy arms, even though she was 4. I think she had Middle Eastern blood in her. Is that horrible? What was I saying again? Oh, yeah. Adulting. Homegirl's adulting. I feel good about it. I feel like I'm ready to enter my next step. With vodka in hand, hope in my heart, and a veil. God willing, a nice veil. I've been very, very conscientious about not being one of those brides. And I think everybody knows what I'm talking about when I say those brides. Think chalkboard, think mason jars, think Pinterest, think epicenter of the universe. It's kind of a slippery slope to navigate because on one end, it is the most important day of your life, assuming you only have one wedding. And I'm 99.9% positive that this is it for me. I mean, if I can't make this work, I don't belong with another human. It's just not going to happen. You're welcome, Andrew. That's probably the nicest thing I've ever said. I'm cataloging that for our vows. But people get married and then they think that the world revolves around them. They become like the most self-involved, fluffy-haired, white romper-wearing asshole. You know who you are.
Because the truth is, no one gives a real fuck about your impending nuptials except you and honestly, like 7 other people. And you get these brides that hold people hostage like the fucking Taliban, asking, do you like ivory? Do you like eggshell? Do you like off-white? Do you like crisp white? It's like, step away from Pinterest and just embrace your truth, okay? You have to understand, people don't care even 1/1,000,000th the amount that you care about your special day. It's something that is private between you and the person who got you your Zales cushion cut. Okay? And I'm so desperately trying not to be that girl, but it is hard. I gotta say, I'm devoting a whole podcast to talking about me wedding venue shopping. I mean, could I be more self-indulgent? Or just completely out of funny material? I think it's a combination of both. Here's another thing. Just because you have given somebody an ultimatum and made someone marry you, or it happened naturally, doesn't matter, you've solidified a life partner, that does not mean that you automatically become the new authority on eternal happiness, okay? I love when people get engaged, get married, and then all of a sudden all their single friends are these like Make-A-Wish Foundation charity cases. Like, oh, you need to find someone. You need to get a boyfriend. Like, maybe they don't want one. Being single is fantastic. It's just as fun as being with someone you love who's great. Think about everyone you know who's in these horrible, terrible relationships, but they think they're happy just because they can't be alone. That's the real tragedy here, not being single. Being single is a hoot and a half. Ride it out until you can't. Cut the single friend pity party, okay? It's annoying, it's stupid, it's rude. And, you know, not to be the bearer of bad news, but statistically, 60% of people are destined for a second marriage, or at least like a Goldie Hawn, Kurt Russell situation. So while you're ironing your white button-down polo shirts for your extremely basic engagement shoot, just remember that before you express pity for your single friend, you have to clean somebody else's underwear for the rest of your life. And God willing, they're a good wiper, because you don't know what's lingering in the crack, okay? Live and let live. What is happening? Oh. Hello, Gardner. What's up, Poppy? Oh my God, he is handsome. Or if you are single, just like come to the Parker in Palm Springs, because they have like a very attractive groundskeeper. Oh, he might be gay, actually. Ugh, even better. Backup plan. Another thing I have a problem with. Now I'm on a real bender. I'm about 2 Bloody Marys in deep, both of which I did not pay for. I met a fabulous gay couple, Mark and, is it Brian? Mark and Brian? If you're listening, thanks for the $18 Bloody Mary, and thank you for ordering it with Grey Goose. You guys are to die for. So I'm feeling pretty good. Another thing I have a problem with, hashtag wifey, hashtag domestic, hashtag domesticated, hashtag happy wife, happy life. Okay, we get it. Okay, you're married. That's cool. We get it. You're a wife. That doesn't change anything. You just have someone legally bound to you. Yes, it changes things. I get it. I know. I'm getting married. I'm not a cynic. I'm doing the thing. I'm wearing the dress. I might wear a tiara. Okay? Not from David's Bridal, but I would like some type of like personalized headpiece. I'm doing it. I'm doing it big, okay? But just because you get married, it doesn't mean that everything changes about who you are, okay? You don't have to stop behaving a certain way. If you think I'm going to stop casually using the word cunt and, you know, making inappropriate jokes, you're wrong. I don't have to do that. If anything, I've solidified the deal. I can go more turbo. I don't have to wrangle a guy anymore. Signed, sealed, delivered. I'm yours. I'm pretty sure that's what that song is about. You know, I'm not going to stop being cunty. That's who I am. It's in my loins.
It's so funny because I know these girls that I went to high school with that get married and then they start dressing like a Midwestern substitute teacher who like fucking collects potpourri and ceramic figurines. It's like 3 years ago, you were in a BB dress in Vegas at some day club, like grinding with a sweaty guy from Bakersfield and probably, you know, porking after knowing each other for a minute and a half. Don't act like you're so wholesome in your cardigan sweater and your kitten heels. No, girl, I know you. Once a hoe, always a hoe. Don't hide the hoe. Embrace the hoe. It's called a happy marriage. Duh. People get married and then they just become like so churchy. It's like, come on. I know you have a drawer full of synthetic clip-in weave that you used to wear up into club with your hooker acrylic nail platform heels. Don't try me, girl. Just because you have a Pinterest board that you put little recipes on and an apron and like orthopedic heels doesn't mean that you, like, come on. If anything, when you get married, you gotta get sluttier, okay? Just because you're on a diet doesn't mean you can't check out the fucking menu. Guys have penises. Penises are fueled by testosterone. Testosterone makes men into primal animals. They want you. They want you to be a coveted item. And this isn't anti-feminism, so don't write me any fucking emails, okay? This is just biology. Right? Why would we change? Get hotter. Not hotter, but just keep your spunk. Keep your spice. Don't let it go just because you got married. That's not the vibe. I mean, sure, I kind of plan on gaining that 15 pounds I've been hiding from as soon as I get married, post-ceremony, reception. I'm going to let it go for like 6 months and then I'll just get it tight again. Or I don't know. Go to a third world country and get some type of a tapeworm. But at least I have my spunk. Right? Right. I'm pretty sure that everyone in this hotel thinks I'm schizophrenic, very a la A Beautiful Mind, which is actually going to be the title of my memoir. I hate that word, memoir. We've reached the end of the road. I need to head on home and start organizing my Pinterest board. Kidding. I may or may have not set a date. Things are happening. Shit's real. I'm glad I had an emotional outport, aka this very sad manic audio diary. Everyone, please, please listen. Subscribe, share this podcast with your friends. Maybe not this episode. Hey, they can't all be hits, okay? Ask around. Ask Brittany. They can't all be hits. But give us 5 stars on iTunes. Please, please, please bitch it forward. I'm Kevin Spacey. You're Haley Joel Osment, but he dies at the end of that movie. Be Helen Hunt. Share it, share it, share it. Could I be more desperate? I don't know. Well, I could. Stay tuned. Follow me at Jackie Schimmel. Thank you again. I'm just trying to buy myself some time. Love you. And I will see you next fucking Tuesday.